We will try to quickly cover the basics of the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, the run into Shmoneh Esrei. And we're holding page 56 on the Siddur Tfilat Kol Peh, Sfarad edition. We have just finished Shema. We're saying the blessing following Shema. Mi chamocha be'elim Hashem, mi chamocha nedar bakodesh. So we're getting ready for Shema, for Shmoneh Esrei. And we have to know that Shmoneh Esrei is supposed to be directly adjacent to the blessing Baruch Ta Hashem Gal Yisrael. If one has to go to the bathroom, he should do it after saying Noatilot Ose Fele. He said Fele, you should pause, go to the bathroom, put on his talis and tefillin again, then continue. When you say the blessing Baruch Ta Hashem Gal Yisrael, you should go directly into Hashem Sfatai Tiftach. Those have to be adjacent. One is not supposed to pause in between. This concept in Halacha is called Smichut Geula LeTfilah. That we make the Geula, the Ga'al Yisrael, our mention of God's redemption of the Jewish people, has to be Samuch, adjacent to the Tfilah, to the prayer. Yeah.
So that's why we don't say Kishem Hashem Akra Habibu.
Correct.
During Shachari. We say during Mincha and Maariv.
Not during Maariv?
Not during Maariv.
Mincha and Musaf.
Why not? I've seen some siddurs where it doesn't have for Shabbat, or not Shabbat, Mincha before Shabbat, where it doesn't have that, like a specific Shabbat siddur that doesn't have it. Is that just okay?
I think.
And why do we say that during Arvit?
Arvit, we also mention God's redemption. We mention God's redemption after Shema, and
point.
Again, it's supposed to be adjacent. Our sages interjected a blessing. That interjection is considered an extension of the Shmoneh Esrei. That Ashkivenu, because our sages instituted, that's not called a break. But again, on Arvit, because we mention the redemption, we do not say Kishem Hashem Ekra. Okay, yeah.
Would it be allowed if a lot of times after I say something in Hebrew, I like to then read the English?
That's okay.
Would it be personal to say this in Hebrew and then read the English of God?
Yeah. Yeah.
So why do we say it? Kishem Hashem Ekra?
When we learn about Mincha. Let's move forward. I want to cover Shachrit. From when may we pray it? So the ideal time to begin praying Shmoneh Esrei Shachrit is
Nates.
Nates is the first second that the ball of the sun is visible. What's normally called sunrise. One may, if one has to, pray from Alot HaShachar, which is, according to one opinion, 72 minutes before Nates, according to another opinion, 90 minutes, an hour and a half before Nates. At that time, really, is when we halachically say day begins, because it's very hard to discern when that time is. So we don't usually go by that time. But halachically, that is the time that the new day begins. If one has said it from then, he was Yotze. He said it. He did say it by day. But ideally, we try to say it right at Nates, the first second when we can, mechatchila, say Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah.
Is there a difference between... I know we say that the first time we can put our tefillin on in our mefer talis is that Nates, or is that a different time?
No, talis and tefillin we put on from the time one can recognize his friend at a distance. We covered it. We'll cover it again.
Okay, so there's a difference between
talit and tefillin you put on much earlier. You put them on for praying at Nates. You put them on before prayer. Yeah. So this isn't the time for Tlit and Tlin. This is the time from saying the morning prayer. Now, let's say one did not wake up for Nates. He didn't wake up at 5:30 this morning. Nates today was about 6 o'clock. So he didn't say Shmoneh Esrei at 6 o'clock. And by the way, you should just know that Nates sometimes runs to 6:40. So I used to pray to 6 o'clock Minyan. But it became a hassle because as the winter months came... So Nates became 6:30, and they finished prayer by 6:30. They're saying Shmoneh Esrei 6:10, 6:15. So then I went to the 6:30 minyan, and the Nates hit 6:45, and the 6:30 minyan would sometimes also say Shmoneh Esrei before Nates. If you want to have an organized morning where you have set times for learning and set times for prayer, it doesn't work. You have to go to 6:30 to 6. Even if you go to Nates minyan, so it keeps shifting. Nates now is 6 o'clock. Last week it was 6:10, a week before that it was 6:20. Your schedule keeps changing. So some people, that's what they do. Some people get up at 4 o'clock and they learn until Nates, and they always get in an hour's worth of learning before Nates. And some people go to a normal minyan, which davens at 6:30, and then almost always they pray their Shemoneh Esrei after Nitz. Anytime after Nitz is okay, up to a third of the day. And we divide the day into a third, going by the daylight hours. It's called Sha'ot Zmaniyot. We divide it into 12 equal parts, and each one we call a Sha'ah, an hour. But it's not an hour of 60 minutes, it's an hour which is composed of a 12th of the day. How we evaluate that is, there are two different opinions. Do we go from Alot HaShacha, from an hour and a half before sunrise, which is the halachic beginning of the day, until Tzet HaKochavim, till the stars come out, which is about 72 minutes after sunset, and divide that into 12? Do we go by Nitz till Shkia? When do we start counting from? What is the first hour? The first hour, is it from Nates, from sunrise, or do we start counting the first hour from Alos HaShachar? So all of this are different opinions, and that's why you look at the calendar, there are different opinions about when the third of the day is up. The most lenient opinion is the most halachically accepted opinion. So you don't have to feel bad if you go by the lenient opinion. The later hour, which is called the Gra and the Baal HaTanya, is the more halachically accepted opinion, and you can rely on that lechatchila. Obviously, if you want to be a more God-fearing person and you want to go with the more stringent opinion, matov, that's very good. But you don't have to. Let's say a person missed it. He woke up today at 10:30 and he sees a third of the day has passed. He looks at the calendar and he sees he can no longer pray Shemoneh Esrei. So we say that if he may pray until chatzot, till the middle of the day, again, dividing the daylight hours. Now, this applies to the prayer of Shemoneh Esrei. We're not talking about the rest of prayer. Shemoneh Esrei, he may pray until Chatzot. The rest of prayer needs a separate discussion. This applies to males. We're not talking about females. Females deserve a separate discussion. Yeah? Chatzot literally means like chetzi, half. Chatzot is the middle of the day, the middle of the daylight hours. Which again, you look at a calendar. Many calendars will tell you what time is Chatzot, what time is Alot, what time is Nitz. A Jewish calendar, yeah.
It's noon and midnight, right?
I didn't say noon and midnight, no.
I'm trying to say, it seems to me you said chatzot at night when you're saying chatzot.
That's because at night we're going with Kabbalah. And according to Kabbalah, we evaluate chatzot by midnight, according to some Kabbalistic opinions, which also not everyone agrees with. But when it comes to the daylight hours, when we say chatzot, almost everyone agrees that chatzot means the middle of the daylight hours. There is an opinion, Rabbi Feinstein, and possibly the Aruch HaShulchan are of the opinion that chatzot is a permanent midday, 12 noon or 1 noon, depending on when we switch to daylight saving time. It's 1 o'clock, but it's 12 o'clock really. But that is not the halachically accepted opinion. Generally, that is not the accepted opinion. You have to go by the calendars, and until whenever the calendar says the middle of the day, till then one may pray in a worst case scenario. This is not ideal, and this is not correct. This is I sometimes see people who run to minyan when they're going to miss a third of the day. That's a mistake. Better daven before a third of the day is up alone. And in my opinion, better daven alone than walk through the streets with a yarmulke and they see a yeshiva guy going to minyan at 11 o'clock in the afternoon and they think, what a bum, this is what yeshiva guys are spending their time doing, they're waking up late. So I think that's a big chilul Hashem. So that's my own personal peeve. I think that if someone wakes up late, so daven privately, don't make a chilul Hashem going through the streets with your thousand tzon. That's my opinion. Obviously people disagree, and I respect their opinion too.
What about the Jews? There's also the Jews, right? You want the Jews. The Jews of the minyan. You want the minyan, yeah? The Jews.
I'm listening and not understanding.
I understand what you're saying with the way it looks, the appearance, right? We don't want to have the appearance of impropriety. However, we want the strength, the boom.
So we always have to ask ourselves who we're serving. Let's run into Shemoneh Esrei. I want to cover a few things. As we're approaching Shemoneh Esrei, we're supposed to position ourselves, prepare ourselves, which means blowing our nose. If for whatever reason the person has been disrespectful enough to leave his cell phone on until this point, so he should at least at this point shut his cell phone. Now, Halacha says one is supposed to remove phlegm from his throat. Anything that might bother him during prayer, he has to remove. Anything that's going to be irksome, that's going to be bothersome, before Shemoneh Esrei, we remove. Some people cannot focus unless they're standing against the wall. Halacha says it's better to pray against the wall. That's why the rabbis are always giving the Mizrach front. They always stand by the wall, because everyone wants to stand by the wall. That's the ideal. If you could stand in front of next to something where there's nothing in front of you, nothing to distract your attention, that's the ideal. You wear, if you could wear a talis over your head after you're married, so that's preferable. You could focus on, if you could get away with doing it before you're married without people yelling at you, so I don't know. I'm not sure it's a good idea because they won't offer you shidduchim and they'll think you're weird.
Listen, just told us the other day that he noticed this, that he told us that it's Ashkenazi halacha to do this.
Ashkenazim, right. Ashkenazim don't cover their head. Sephardim, I think, are less stringent with this. And it's not... not to cover the head. And I'll tell you, practically, you...
It's not any kind of getting at me. Are you rabbi? Are you chazan? Or are you married?
Right. So don't cover your heads yet. But once you're married, it's good to cover your head so you can focus. Or at least stand in a place where no one's going to distract your attention. When we approach prayer, we're approaching God. And when Moses saw the burning bush, so he took 3 footsteps towards the burning bush, and based upon that, we have a custom to take 3 footsteps forward to prayer. Today the custom has evolved that we take 3 steps back and then 3 steps forward, as though we are approaching a king to pray. Yeah?
I just wanted to ask, what is the picture of putting the talis on your head? I was doing it because I focus much better, and I don't see people with the size of me and blocks out everything.
It's not such a big deal.
People get very annoyed. Is it disrespectful to them? Or?
Well, people feel like you're changing tradition. The tradition is that you don't cover your head unless you're married. And it's a sign of a person's attaining a certain stature. And when a person doesn't, he hasn't attained it, so then they get upset. In the Yekish community, the community doesn't cover their head, only the rabbi, because the story that goes is that one time a robber ran into a shul, and the police were chasing after him, and he quickly donned the talis and covered his head, and the police walked into the shul and shot everyone dead. And therefore the Yekish community accepted for themselves. This is a story that's told. I don't know of a source for it, but that what they say is that because of that, the community accepted that only the rabbi covers his head with the talis, and maybe the chazan, and everyone else wears a hat during prayer, and they don't cover their head, even the married people. But throughout Israel, the rest of Israel, the custom is that only married people cover their head, but you could find a place where you could focus, and a person should focus. A person may not hold anything that will distract his attention during prayer. Our sages permitted us to hold a sidur, which is a leniency. Really, even that a person shouldn't hold. If a person could have a stander and put down the sidur on that, good. Sometimes when you hold the sidur next to your face, you're not going to see the guy in front of you who's making weird faces and the guy next to you is waving his hand, so that's better. So it's okay, but people who pray while holding a baby or while holding their wallet or holding their cell phone or holding anything that's of value, that's not right. A person is not supposed to hold anything during prayer. Person... What?
But if you said bad eyesight and you can't look down the whole time, you...
No problem. You can hold the sidur. The sidur is permitted. I'm just explaining that people sometimes think, what's wrong? I'm holding the baby while I'm praying. No, you're not allowed to hold the baby. I'm holding another book while I'm praying. No, you're not supposed to hold anything. The sidur was permitted because it's necessary, but nothing beyond that. Yeah.
So like little tchotchkes that you play with that like help you concentrate?
I don't know. Yeah, so I don't... let's... If you feel that that helps your concentration, so I can't tell you not to do it, and I can't tell you to do it. I don't know of a source to permit it, but I wouldn't want to say it's forbidden. Okay. Because, you know what, a guy's starting out, and this is what helps him concentrate. So just be careful. When your children are looking at you, they shouldn't get into that habit. They shouldn't think it's a religious thing. Okay. Yeah?
3 steps back and forward.
Yeah.
If you, like, a lot of times if you're in a place where there's not enough space to take that many steps, like, you're like, so, like, if you have to, can you just, like, you know, like, lift your, you know, like, lift your feet up without actually moving? Like, sometimes there's enough space to take, like, a step and a half.
So take small steps. Yeah. Take small steps. I would say that's probably better. So at least you're fulfilling them in not taking 3 steps. Yeah.
3 steps forward, and by the end of the...
We'll get to the end. We'll get there. We'll get there. We won't get there today, unfortunately, but we will get there. Yeah?
I wanted to ask where these steps come from.
So we said it comes from Moshe Rabbeinu. That when Moshe Rabbeinu saw the Shechina, he took 3 steps towards the Shechina. That's what matters. The steps back, it stems from the custom from the end of Shmona Esrei, where we take 3 steps back. So it evolved into becoming a minhag also in the beginning of Shmona Esrei. Take 3 back and then 3 forward. But in truth, the whole concept is based on taking 3 steps forward. And we've run much over time, and unfortunately we didn't cover everything. But the last thing I just want to end so that we could begin with Shmona Esrei next week, we have to know that we should be prepared for Shmoneh Esrei when Shmoneh Esrei comes. Meaning, person should stand up when he's in Micha Molcha. Person isn't supposed to stand after he finishes Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael and then stand up and prepare and get into the position. No. Person is supposed to get into position before Shmoneh Esrei. People sometimes stand before Arvit. I see the Chazan is saying the Kaddish and they're still sitting and he finishes the Kaddish and everyone's already taking their three steps and they're just getting out of their seat. The idea is that we're advancing towards the Shechina. We're coming to pray. So a person is supposed to stand up when he's saying Micha Mocha and then take his three steps back and three steps forward and be in position ready to start his prayer when he finishes Baruch Hashem Gal Yisrael. So he goes straight into the Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah.
Some people are just slower, so they're like reading slower.
Fine. I'm not judging them. I'm saying the idea... person should be cognizant of this. Okay, in the mission next week we're going to start with the Shmoneh Esrei. We're going to try to run through the halachot of the Shmoneh Esrei. Right now, it is not my intention to go through the translation of the prayer. Do you people think that it is necessary to go through the words and explain them? I don't think so. You all have translated Tzidui. So we might mention major concepts, but in general, starting next week, Bezat Hashem, we will go through the Shmoneh Esrei.